Where am I? Where are we going? These are some of the great philosophical questions we try to answer as we make our way along the road of life. Or not, I can't say. Sometimes such questions are prompted by momentous events and changes in our lives, like being evicted from our beloved Tribune Tower after so many centuries. I'm still not over it, and Jeff Carlin's WGN studios aren't quite up and running. So right now, I'm in my other workspace, in the Suburban Bureau, with Zeus the Wonder Dog at my feet. And I'm about to water my vegetable garden on this very, very hot day. Okay, I haven't yet visited my new workspace. They're waiting for me. I'm going to show up. I'll show up this week. But for right now, as we clear our memories from the tower, we find treasures. Old photographs, letters, an unused back scratcher, notes, a box of press passes from national conventions in years past. I found my Pauli Konurko Russian doll and my very own bobblehead, a tiny Casio in a red fire uniform holding out a tape recorder. Yeah, my own bobblehead. The Casio head has a smirk, as usual. Jeff has found treasures too, in a dusty crate with giant hinges, the kind you'd see in a movie about archaeologists and mummies. What was lost has now been found, and today we're going to share it with you. It's a never-before-heard tape of Christian McQuarrie, Jeff Carlin, and me that was recorded on the third day of the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, July of 2016. Before all this national craziness, before Russiagate and Spygate and the FBI Inspector General's report, before any of it, we'll talk about being behind the scenes at a convention, what we expected from Donald Trump, a journey on in search... Shut up, Zeus! A journey in search of cold lamb sandwiches and beer in Cleveland. Jeff becomes interested in square pies. Shut up, Zeus! We even sing. And how can I talk when Zeus is barking? We even sing. Actually, Kristen does the singing. Jeff and I croak. I hope you enjoy this. And we should be back at WGN Studios next week. Oh, one more thing. In Cleveland, I met a great and brilliant man, Charles Krautheimer, who sadly announced recently that he's dying. It was a brief encounter, just two guys on a hot day in Cleveland, lost along the perimeter of the convention. We were trying to get through the gates. We didn't know where we were. "Where am I?" said the great Krautheimer. "Where are we going?" I said. He smirked. I laughed. He smirked again and smiled. It may have been Cleveland, but really, for us, it's still the Chicago way.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
I remember when you couldn't wait to love me. You used to hate to leave me.
But
now I come home and you tell me to take out the garbage, and the alderman is screaming on the phone, but you say I got to drive the kids to the practice.
I'm not sure I can follow that, but...
I forgot.
That's right. We'll work on it.
Okay.
It's our karaoke
and, you know,
number.
Kristen McQuarrie with that great voice, and we're going to do, I hope, Cracklin' Rosie next week when... Hillary Clinton's running.
Yeah.
Right? It's her, like, Cracklin' Rosie. Get on board. Yeah.
What should her theme song be?
I was just singing it for you.
Oh, okay. Well, we saw Trump walk out to We Are the Champions on Monday.
Right.
His speech tomorrow, what do you expect, or Thursday, what do you expect his theme song will be?
I don't know. I don't think it'll have anything to do with acoustic guitars. But I'm thinking that, are we on? Are you rolling, Jeff Carlin?
I'm rolling, but, yeah. But if you want to actually open it.
Oh.
All right, yeah, we should open the show.
As much as I...
Okay.
The interlude.
All right. That was a very nice musical interlude with Kristen and Neil Diamond. This is the Chicago Way, Radio Free Chicago, in podcast form behind the corruption curtain. But we're in Cleveland for the Republican National Convention, and Jeff Carlin is here, of course, as always. And what do we say? If we were a family, what would Kristen be? Kristen McQuarrie, the editorial board member of the Chicago Tribune.
That's a plenty fine introduction.
That's it, because we are all family, kind of it in the whole Tribune universe until
we're
Jeff's side kicked us out, and then we're like the...
We're family trunk.
We're the cousins in the living in the van down by the river.
Exactly. You're that uncle that everyone's like, oh.
So, guys, what do you think of the convention? Now, we're sitting in Jeff's workspace.
Yes.
This is in Radio Row. You can hear the ambient sound from behind us because this is real non-commercial. This is commercial radio. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to hear pan pipes or Peruvian pipes like on public radio. This is actual reporters working a veritable warren with hundreds and hundreds of radio booths about 3 feet long with little chairs behind, and everyone's walking by. What has it been like here, Jeff?
It's been amazing. It's just nonstop movement and people. The whole place is alive with chatter about this story and that story, and then just, you know, people you would book and have come on the phone, and then you'd see them in person and their assistants. I mean, there's so many people that I've talked to hundreds of times via email and over the phone, and now I see them all in person, and that's pretty cool.
That's great.
He sees people walking by when he's doing the executive producing for Roe and Anna. And you see somebody walking by. Do you go grab them?
I try.
Like, excuse me. Ambassador Bolton or whatever?
Somebody exactly. important just walked by. Maybe a U.S. senator or something, because he had, you know, a crew with him. So you just grab them and come over and interview them.
Yeah.
Tell us about these crews, Kristen, because our Chicago politicians, they have entourages, but not like the Washington kind.
Oh, yeah. It's a different animal here. Outside next to the queue is kind of this gauntlet of media outlets, MSN, BC, and, you know, you're kind of crossing paths with Andrea Mitchell and all of those types, and you want to talk entourage. Those people come with, you know, they don't have to do what we did, which is walk for miles to get your credential, you know, go through lines of security. Everything is done for them. They just plop down in their seats and they start broadcasting.
I did see one fellow that I thought would have a huge entourage, but he was just by himself in his wheelchair with 100 degree heat and humidity. Charles Krautheimer.
Oh, really?
I was, when I first rolled in, I walked all the way across. I have a bad leg, as you know, right? My knees got...
Well, he does too. That's why I was...
He's obviously seriously hurt. And he was ill, and he's now in a wheelchair. But I'm standing on 9th and Eagle. I got the wrong directions, and I'm standing there like literally 2,000 miles away from where I have to go, and there's no cabs. And I see him roll by, and we're all stuck there together, like waiting for Godot or something. And we're just sitting there in the sun, and he turns around, and he looks at me, and I look at him, and I say, He says, where am I? And I said, where are we going? And he looked at me and he's like, so I forgot what he said. Something, I think I told you, Jeff. He said something like, where will we go when we get there? Or something like the whole philosophy thing that you do when you're... And then he just took off on his wheelchair. It was really surreal. It was like my surreal moment.
Yeah, I saw Charlie Rose sitting by himself in the convention hall. No one was bothering him. Maybe they didn't recognize him. He was wearing sneakers with a suit and kind of taking notes off by himself. So if you consider journalists celebrities, there are a lot of them here, but I don't like that. Journalists are not celebrities. Get over yourselves.
Right.
And
we're not going to interview. The last thing I want to hear, if I was listening to a podcast, is journalists talking to themselves about their experiences in Cleveland.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which
right?
is what we're
about. But we're a family.
Right.
So, Jeff.
This podcast is about that, though.
This is about being here in Cleveland. And next week, we're going to have...
Philly.
Philadelphia. We were talking about theme music. What will Hillary's theme music be? Like Tubular Bells or the thing from The Exorcist? What?
Maybe something from Phantom of the Opera, like dun-dun-dun. I'm not sure.
I'm thinking more a 12-string guitar and or a 6-string guitar and...
some man buns?
No man bun.
A lute?
An old hippie singing Big Rock Candy Mountain. Because that's the economic plan for the Democrats, right? We're going to have flowing lemonade on the Big Rock Candy Mountain. You know that song, right?
I don't.
Who's that? Who's singing it? Pete Seeger, right?
Yeah.
Pete Seeger.
But I remember, do you remember Bill
Clinton's
song?
Lemonade trees and cigarette trees and the bums have food all day and there's no coppers and they can have stew and everything's free.
Everything's free.
Like your free college.
Right.
You're free.
She's adopting some of Bernie Sanders' proposals. Bill Clinton, when he ran, you know, he picked Fleetwood Mac's song, Don't Stop Believing.
I was there.
I love that song, and now it's ruined me whenever I hear it on the radio. I picture him, you know.
Hillary
out
used
on the
it too.
Did she?
When she ran against Obama, it was Don't Stop Believing. And it was there was that ad that ran, and it was right after The Sopranos had ended with that same song in the, it was like the final song.
Interesting.
And the final scene was in the diner, and then like a month later, an ad ran for
Just
her.
A Small Town Girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the theme song for the White Sox in 2005.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So what are your impressions, both of you, so far of... whether or not Trump is bringing in that middle-of-the-road voter that he needs. Is this convention selling him to the American public? What are your thoughts?
I think so. I mean, I think they're doubling down on the people they've brought in, the outliers who have come down and haven't voted in the past and are here and love what he's talking about. Throw the old guard out, bring in the new people, bring back the way America was when I was a kid, that sort of stuff. They've doubled down on that. The people that are trying to bring in, who are talking about, oh, I can be a personality, I can be a leader, I can be the guy who you want to stand behind, I don't think they've done a good job at that. I don't think they've humanized him in the fact that, oh, he is a person who can be Donald Trump and then be President Donald Trump, two different people. Mm-hmm. His family, all they've said is just, oh, he gets it done, trust us,
he's
gets it
strong.
Done.
They're he, putting he's, forth,
yeah.
right, like he gets that he's a doer and he's strong. And he won't let us down. But you're right, we're not getting beyond, we haven't yet gotten more
TV
to the
show.
Personality. Yeah, is
okay.
it?
And we had the first, you know...
Episodes 1 and 2.
We had episode 1 where the beautiful Slovenian supermodel comes out, right? And half the country has, all the men in the country have to come to grips with this. And then the second day... Is what? What was the second day?
It was...
The sun.
Oh,
the testimonial.
Donald Trump was
the testimonial
student.
Of the sun, where we are the sons of children of billionaire, but we also know how to drive a combine. So you better know how to really drive a combine if you say that on TV.
Right.
And then we had the Melania plagiarism.
Yeah.
And now we're going to have what you guys want, or not want, but what you're seeking. The shift from the hill, you know, burned Hillary at the stake, at the stake of Chris Christie, now to selling Donald Trump as some sort of viable presidential. Why do we want to vote for him? It seems like that's where it's going.
So yeah, especially with Ted Cruz speaking today. I mean, somebody who hasn't said anything nice about him in a year.
Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Scott Walker, all on, you know, were running against him on the stage at some point with him, all speaking, and Mike Pence, we're going to hear, to try to bring, I think, that policy and credibility to the ticket and try to keep those conservatives who are still looking. They want to hear about, what are you going to do about the national debt? What are you going to do about Obamacare? What are you going to do about foreign policy? Are you going to undo the Iran nuclear deal? I hope we get a little bit into the weeds on some of those issues, because I really think last night it was overkill, all of the anti-Hillary and the chanting of lock her up. I mean, it just felt very juvenile to me, and I'm ready to move on. I'm not here necessarily to just have this continuous run of Hillary bashing. I want to know more about Trump. And that's my opinion.
This coming week in Philadelphia, what are we going to hear? You know, the same stuff. It'll be a Hieronymus Bosch painting of Donald Trump with the feet of babies sticking out of his mouth that he's devoured, right?
So
they're
going to
make him into the demon, right?
Okay.
And what is it about? It's organizing around. It's the villagers, you know, the witch doctor in the village, on both sides, looking out and saying, "Outside this fire circle is the evil tiger, and we have to be afraid of it."
Yes.
Right? And that's how they organize. That's how they do it with Mike Madigan in Illinois, right?
I suppose. I don't know if it was just the duration of the anti-Clinton, you know, comments last night, if it was the chanting.
We're just here. We're here all day.
Yeah.
Most people who check in on this thing, I don't think most people are like, except for my mom, who was like, some moms are glued to their...
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And my mom's glued to Fox News. I tell her to turn it off.
Melt your brain.
Melt your brain. She has it on all night.
Yeah, my uncle's the same way with MSNBC. And
yeah, see, he's on the... Yeah.
Right.
We should put them together, and then they would kill each other. But, yeah, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
They blow their minds out with this stuff.
So you think they're not getting at that overkill that we're getting, because most people are just tuning in at night.
Mm-hmm. And people tune in and they tune out. They're watching some of it, and then they go have, like, make a liver sausage sandwich with Vidalia onion, salt and pepper, a little mayonnaise, and
and they watch the show. It is.
I'm making fun of Christian here because on the way over, I asked the driver to tell me about a tavern. I have an ideal Cleveland tavern in my mind.
Okay.
Jeff. And it's a steelworkers tavern, like I remember from when I was working in South Chicago for the Daily Calumet. A wax paper, a chunk of cold lamb, a couple green onions, salt, pepper, and a beer, right? And she thought, Kristen thought this was so humorous that she made a video of it.
This was an Uber, first of all, just a regular guy who, what did he say his profession was?
He's an athletic trainer.
He's an athletic trainer.
But he's kind of built like me, right? So, you know, like, how athletic are
well,
you,
well, I think he threw out some stuff in his back or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yes,
he's an instructor.
I ran into a couple scones on the way down here.
Okay, so we get in the Uber, and the first thing out of John Cass's mouth is about where he can get. He wants to sit at a bar with the wax paper and the chunk of lamb.
And my cold beer.
And your cold beer. And the driver actually tried to, he came up with some suggestions of where John Cass could find his
What is so meal. Bizarre about that?
That is just, I don't know.
What's so bizarre about
cold
like a
lamb?
Steelworkers, yeah, steelworker tavern.
I mean, we've come a long way. Now you get a burger and a beer. Yeah. Nobody eats cold lamb with some green onions.
And a beer.
Right.
That's right. In the precincts where you guys exist, yes. But in my mind, there's still a Cleveland that's steelworkers and people, you know, who work for a living, blue-collar workers. That's Cleveland.
Yes. We should try to find a place like that, because in this convention center where we are, we're surrounded by really upscale, pretty nice restaurants. Everything's booked. You know, you try to go get a sandwich and Some congressman has rented out the entire restaurant for the day for a fundraiser. So,
so much
you do
money
have to kind of creep out.
Mm-hmm. There's so much money to be had here. This is what it is, really. You have the TV show, right? And the stuff that Jeff's doing during the day with Ro and Anna, bringing in guests. Mm-hmm. And all those guests are raising money here, right? And meeting the Idaho potato growers or the widget makers of Massachusetts or whatever, right? And they have their little soirees.
Yes.
That's part of the convention.
It's
on TV, is it?
That's so true. I've run into more lobbyists and people representing big companies like AT&T or whatever who are here to wine and dine clients, mingle, get people into places like this, Radio Row, to impress them. But that is such a large part of the convention. You're right. It's not all about nominating Donald Trump or even being in the convention hall as a delegate. It's the greasing of the way campaigns operate in the political world.
Okay, now Jeff Carlin just walked away a little bit because he has some...
We're alone.
He's not, so we can talk about this whole radio thing where he's not here.
Okay. What should
now,
we talk about?
This thing where you're doing a radio show. We're sitting there looking at there's a corridor about 8 feet wide with other booths on the other side of the hall,
mm-hmm.
all the way around a whole parking lot.
Yeah.
I mean, indoors, we have air conditioning. They're running industrial carpeting, and a guest will walk by, somebody's famous or not famous,
mm-hmm.
and all these producers go up and grab the guy.
Right.
Like, please, can you give us 5 minutes?
Right.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, and this is such an easy get if you are looking for media attention.
Right.
Just walk around Radio Row. You'll do 12 interviews, you know, just walking down. John.
I spilled my iced coffee on myself again.
Weren't we just talking
what
about the water incident?
Oh, yeah, that water incident.
Do you need a sippy cup? You got a little right there.
That's why I have a dark blazer.
Yes, that's very important.
Okay, I spilled water on my pants during our last podcast.
Yeah.
Right, with Tom Dart. I think Jeff took
I did not notice. Maybe I wasn't at that one, but you don't want to spill water on the groin of your pants.
I was wearing dark jeans, and I ended up standing in front of the hand dryer for like 20 minutes.
Did it work?
I looked like some old pervert sitting in the gym, you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
But it had to be done.
I can see the visual.
So,
people just walk around and just hop from station
from
to station.
Station to station. I've seen some interesting... I've seen people that... It's funny in radio, where you see the guy, you see their face, after never...
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's probably like for us where people read us and then hear us on the podcast. That's got to be jarring because I don't think I write. I don't talk the way I write.
I don't think, right? That's correct. But you have been recognized a lot. You were just recognized when we walked into Radio Row by somebody who lives in D.C. but knew you from Chicago.
Oh, yeah, because they're from... But look at like Dan Proft. I mean, everyone knows him. He's walking around Row. Everyone knows him. I'm talking about when you're a reader.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, I remember there was a radio announcer, and he had a big booming voice, and he did this advertising for Community, which was like a discount store,
mm-hmm.
The Community. And finally, I saw him on a commercial, and I freaked out when I finally saw the radio man's face,
mm-hmm.
like a bald little fat guy, and it just freaked
shattered
me.
Your image of what you thought.
When you see radio people, and you actually see their faces, it's kind of weird, isn't it? It's a weird experience.
That's somebody famous. Who's that?
Okay.
I mean, it's hard to tell these people in the suits. Oh, maybe it's just
the
senator.
You know who that is?
No.
Okay.
It's like let's describe it. A tall blonde woman who was once a cheerleader or the most popular girl in school. And a guy who went to school and studied really hard and became
I think he's an elected
powerful
official, but I can't place it at the moment.
And
I wish they wore a little, hello, my name is...
And then a bunch of little staffers kissing their ass.
Oh, yeah,
right?
On their phones.
Right, on their phones, walking around, very important. And then a guy standing off to the side, right?
Yes, well, somebody just asked him for a picture, so that's why I'm... That's how I'm deducing.
There's something about... See, I don't think print people are like this.
No.
But I think... Broadcast people, no offense, but the broadcast, not you, Jeff.
No, it's okay.
But I'm talking about like the TV type.
Yeah.
TV types and political types are very similar in the way they, their expressions, the way they walk around the room.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Is that weird?
I think it's a cast system.
Yeah.
It feels very much, though, here, like it does in Washington, D.C., with all these 20-something, successful, aggressive political junkies all concentrated in one area. You can't go have a meal here without sitting next to somebody who's, you know, looks about 26 and is talking about poll numbers in Michigan. It just, that's the flavor of this event, for sure. And it's, let's talk a little bit about safety, because I keep getting texts from family members, you know, are you safe? This is like a fortress here. It's locked down. When we left...
Here?
Yeah.
Here is a fortress. Outside, it's not.
But there's cops everywhere.
Cops everywhere.
Okay, here's the scene. There's some leftist organization screaming, and then there's a religious guy screaming at the top of their lungs about the end of the world, apocalypse, and so forth. Bunch of cops all over, sweating. I'm sweating through my jacket. I'm on the phone trying to get to where Kristen is and Dan Proft, and it's a steakhouse, and everyone's eating these great steaks, and we're looking on over, and right next to us is the protest. It's rather Roman, you know, the whole business.
The protests are very contained, though. I did see a guy a little bit outside of the perimeter who was just so animated and so angry about police and F the police and police are pigs and doing that whole routine.
He'll do that
while he's surrounded by police who are making sure nobody punches him in the face.
Yeah.
So there is still that Black Lives Matter feeling around here. And there have been some Black Lives Matter protests as well.
I think it's also interesting, too, that when we got here on Sunday afternoon, and everybody talking or walking everywhere, there's cops everywhere, stopped and thank you for your service. Thank you so much.
Yes.
For your service. Like, there's a lot of
that. Because the police were just killed.
I know why, but I'm just saying it's very interesting that has kind of permeated beyond. It's like all these cops are kind of like, oh, okay, thanks.
They might even be getting sick of it. They're here. I mean,
right.
I'm hearing it like you are everywhere I go.
Really?
Yes. Women, men of all stripes approaching police and thanking them for
Well, these
the
are
service.
The clerks of the, what we are in one way, are the town criers or clerks of the, empire, right? Mm-hmm. And so the police are like the praetorians protecting the clerks from the masses.
They
that
are.
We write about.
They
it's
are.
Very,
in many ways,
very,
they are.
Very
how have you thought? So John and I every morning go, we're staying at the hotel where the Illinois delegation is staying, meaning the delegates who ran to, you know, nominate Trump or Kasich or Bush or whomever. They're just average Illinois people, farmers, teachers, coaches, and we all get in a room together. They have a couple speakers every morning, and there have been very few Illinois elected officials in that room. We haven't seen Mark Kirk, and we knew this coming here, that a lot of them were going to skip it. But it does strike me as a little bit insulting that they're still, you know, that the couple of the Illinois legislative leaders, Jim Durkin and Christine Redonio, I haven't seen her, I know he's out here, they hosted an event for John Kasich on Monday. You know, and yet you have...
Your
state went for Trump. It's time to respect the movement. Show, you know, get out of bed, go down to the hotel room where everyone's having breakfast, and shake some hands and start meeting some of the regular people who are, if you want to call it, the new Republican Party. Instead, they're still snubbing it. It's a little surprising to me.
They don't want to lose control. That's why.
I don't think they want to be swarmed by reporters and get all those questions of, are you with Donald Trump or not? They don't want to be put on the record.
Why? If they don't want like Donald Trump, they should say so. But then what if he wins? Then they'll be, you know, right?
Well, they're all concerned about their races in the fall. I mean,
right.
They're here to, you know, try to raise money, too. They're going to fundraisers. And they don't want to put their candidates, their state legislative candidates, in an awkward position of having to be with or without Donald Trump. In some places, it's harmful if you don't, you know, outright reject him. So they're not even here, though.
In Madigan's own district, Donald Trump will defeat Hillary Clinton.
You think?
In the southwest side, southwest suburbs.
His district, though, is so Hispanic now.
Okay, well, yes, right. Okay, I'll take that back. But he'll do very well.
Mm-hmm.
He'll do very well in the ward.
He'll do very well in
many of the wards. And it's just odd.
Yeah, so we've seen Peter Roskam, Adam Kinzinger, John Shimkus, Rodney Davis. Those are four Republican congressmen from Illinois. Obviously, the Illinois Republican Party chairman, Tim Schneider, who, bless him, he's got a tough job. He's trying to organize all these stray cats. But that's it, right? I mean, there's very few lawmakers.
You wrote a very, very nice column this week about that. To me, it's an insult that if you're a Republican or a Democrat and your party nominates somebody, you stand with your party. Or don't be a party official.
Exactly.
That's all.
Don't run for elected office if you can't suck it up and just come down and have coffee with this group of people. And it strikes me as very Chicken Little, small-minded, that their candidate didn't win, so they're kind of rejecting being here. And when I look around the room, it's regular people who went out and collected signatures in the fall out in the rain and the cold.
Right.
And for every 100 doors you knocked on, maybe you only got 10 valid signatures
an
to
IT
run
guy,
as a delegate.
An IT guy from Downers Grove, a cop from Lockport. People that aren't generally political, right?
Right.
Not political.
Exactly.
Now, what are you getting from that here? In this radio row, you're getting the elected officials coming over, right?
Yeah.
How are the local guys dealing with the whole Trump thing?
They're kind of avoiding it. I mean, we had Roskam on yesterday, and he was, he's very reluctant in to praise Donald Trump in any way. But he's here. I mean, that says a lot, just the fact that he's here in that fact. But
I think he reads Christian McQuarrie in the Tribune.
But
he's showing up now.
I think like Rauner not being here is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, and
Kirk
and I can get Kirk. I mean, that's fine. He's fighting against someone who's going to.
You could say I don't endorse him, but I'm here as a Republican. I have unendorsed.
Right.
Or you say I'm here because I really don't want Hillary Clinton to win, and whatever I can do to try to block her elevation to the White House, I will do.
But I don't know. I think maybe. Do I really want to block? Do I want to block Hillary Clinton? No.
Yes, you do.
Do I? I think I want to change now.
What?
I want to love Hillary.
You do?
Yeah.
You will by the end of next week.
In West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground is where I spent most of my days. Chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cooling, all shooting some b-ball outside of the school. When a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got in one little fight and my mom got scared and said, you're moving with your auntie and uncle and
so you're going to Philadelphia?
Yep.
What's that like? I was there when Bush was, that's how old I am now, dinosaur boy.
I have no idea. I mean, they're telling us it's going to be smaller. They're saying that the radio and media row is going to be half of what we're seeing here. And there are over 200 booths for media where we are, which is technically a garage, which is attached to the Quicken Loan Center. We're sitting in a garage they converted with sheetrock and poured concrete to build this radio row. And it's an amazing thing. It's air-conditioned. It's pretty comfortable.
Yeah, it's nice.
There's a smoothie bar run by CNN right across from us.
Oh, that's
where I was wondering what
smoothie?
That is. I keep seeing all kinds of little seeds and
pay?
Spices and things.
No, can you go in?
It's CNN. I mean,
well, how about that CNN girl that wouldn't let me have the bottle of water yesterday?
I don't know.
When I did your radio show.
I don't know. That was weird.
Remember? She's like, no, you can't. You're not with CNN.
We walk up there and just take stuff all the time, so I don't know.
All right, in Philadelphia.
You're stealing.
Let's
from
give
CNN.
Some feature stories for Roe and Jeff Carlin and Anna.
Okay.
I think Jeff Carlin should go take his microphone to the Joe Frazier's gym, and I think you should interview Marvis Frazier. It would be good, like a Philadelphia thing.
Yeah,
right?
Color of the
Philadelphia Fighters.
Yeah,
I remember going there years ago. Okay, years ago, Jim Ryan, the Illinois Attorney General, Steve Neal, me. And I think a couple Joyces over to interview to sit with Frazier.
Great.
At that gym.
I bet that was wonderful.
That was, yeah. Also, here's another one. Don't do the Pat versus whatever, who's got the better steak sandwich.
Oh, Philly steak or...
Yeah, don't do that one.
I won't.
But there's one place called, they used to be called Tony Luke's, which is like the Italian steak sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good.
Hmm, how do these vary? Now I'm curious.
Actually, it's like, not. It have you ever had a steak sandwich?
No.
I always thought it was nonsense, right? Like, shut up. Who cares? But then I had it, and it was, like,
it was
good.
Delicious. But do they pour all that cheese sauce on the top of it? Is that what makes it?
Do you know Velveeta? Because I'm a Southsider. I know Cheese Whiz.
Okay.
I know Cheese Whiz. That's their it's one of our condiments, right?
And so a Philly steak sandwich, though, has cheese
with,
on it.
With.
I'm sorry. Did I say with?
No,
I
with. Something you say with, like... Wit means with onions or something. I forgot what the rules are.
Oh, okay.
It's really tasty, but you won't like it.
No, I won't care for it.
Are there any pies in Philadelphia?
I'm
like
sure
famed bakers?
I'm sure there are.
Wait, there's...
I'm sure there are plenty.
You want
of...
me to find some for you and I'll text you?
Yeah, if you got a guy.
Can you tell we haven't had lunch yet?
No.
Can we get back to the Philly steak sandwich, please?
You were on vacation.
Can you describe it?
You were on vacation, so you missed... The reveal of Jeff in one of our last podcasts.
I did.
He went on and on about the pies and how he loves to make pies. And
oh,
how he cooks.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Thank you for catching me up.
My 4th of July tradition, make a pie.
Now, okay. Philadelphia is a historic city.
Mm-hmm.
Liberty Bell, Sylvester Stallone, Rocky and stuff. So
key figures in their history.
Key figures. And also, National Secrets, right, was filmed there. So,
Nicolas Cage, that's true.
It's
some of his best work.
But there's got to be some savory pie bakeries from the 18th century.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, Benjamin Franklin, he was a big pie maker.
He was?
Sure.
He liked to make pies with small larks.
Hey, Andrew.
Yeah.
Pickled larks.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, savory.
I'm looking it up. Let's see. What is Philadelphia known for?
Here's Kristen. Okay, she grabs her phone.
Yeah. Yeah, so they make square pies.
What?
They're known... What?
It's a famous one.
Yeah, they're known for square pies in Philadelphia. I don't have a filling yet, but keep talking and I'll find it.
Wow, that
would be like an ale house.
Okay, butterscotch bourbon pie.
What?
Pecan pie, fudge brownie pie, coconut cream pie, cherry, sweet potato, fig ricotta tart.
Ooh.
Mm. Oh, there's a picture of it. It looks wonderful. So anyway,
that's a lot better than we get here in Cleveland because we're not getting our lamb.
Our cold lamb on the wax paper
like a steel bar.
I told John I don't think I've ever had lamb, and I just cannot bring myself to eat a meat of a creature that was once a stuffed animal in my room. So that no rabbit, no lamb, no
elephant.
Duck, no elephant. If you were a little fuzzy stuffed animal on my bed when I was a little girl, I cannot eat you.
No giant yellow bird.
There's a guy walking around in a polar bear, outfit, like environmental. It's a polar bear costume. It's 98 degrees with 100% humidity. And I'm looking at him. He's like, "So be careful of the environment." I said, "Because do you have a question, sir?" I said, "Yes. Once I skin you, how do I eat you?"
That's what you said.
And
to
he was like upset.
Of course, yes.
Know?
You upset.
Was that uncool
polar bear
to say? I thought it was funny. Kind of in a mean, psycho old. Mean uncle.
Sometimes when you're trying to be funny, you come across as gruff and
life,
and so you probably scared the.
Yeah, that guy is probably wet his suit.
Yeah.
So you're going to go to Philadelphia next week. That should be interesting to see. I also like to see this thing end. I'm just tired of conventions, to tell you the truth. They're just all they are TV shows, right, Jeff?
Sure.
No?
Yeah, we came right off the Blackhawks convention, so we hit Friday.
Oh,
last
man.
Friday. Had to do that and then get in the car and come here.
Are How you long? Just carrying all this equipment with you nonstop?
Yeah.
You must be. I'm
luckily,
surrounded by equipment.
Yeah,
here.
Luckily ABC is kind enough to let us stash stuff here, but for the most part, it's, a lot of equipment.
There's a long table, a thin table about maybe 5 feet long and about 2.5 feet wide, and Jeff Carlin has all these buttons and machines and laptops stuck on this thing, right? Balanced and everything.
I do feel a little like a pilot with my little microphone here attached to me and all these buttons. Does this make you nervous, Jeff?
A little bit.
I put my hands over here?
A little bit.
Look what I'm doing.
And then across the way, I'm watching Ann Compton put on lipstick, like 2 feet from me. That's how close we are.
I don't know who that is. Who's here?
Ann Compton.
We had her in, and she looked different.
We used to have her on the other station that fired me.
We had Ann Coulter here yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
on your show?
Really?
No.
She always reminds me of the character in Fatal Attraction. You know, the woman who boils the bunny.
Right.
because she's just she's so coarse in her language and
isn't she?
She's very abrasive.
Yeah, she's very
She's so, but that's the brand. That's what all this is about now.
I think she's full brand. Like she is her brand. There's no middle ground with her.
There's no one who is as, like you're saying, coarse as she is.
Yeah.
I mean, you have hard right women, female media types. You know, right after the Paris attacks happened, she was tweeting about how this was going to be the best thing that ever happened to Donald Trump. And she's made some anti-Jewish remarks, and she swears a lot. And I don't know. I think she just comes across as a very cold human being. She is not the compassionate conservative that I think you see in...
I don't know what I don't. I'm trying to find people who succeed in politics who are actually compassionate about anything, because the process is so brutalizing that by the time you're able to do something for people, you've lost who you are. I think. No,
it's very true.
That's why we should all go back to the garden. I've got several tomatoes
waiting. Who's watching the garden while you're away?
Oh my gosh,
Betty and the boys, Zeus. Oh, yeah, Zeus got sick. Here's one thing you don't want to hear on Deadline. Betty calls and says Zeus is throwing up and blood.
Oh, no.
I'm like, oh, God. Like, and she just called. I'm like, oh, I don't even know what to do.
Today this happened?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. No. Well, it might be nothing. You know, dogs sometimes...
some bad...
Eating a stick and it didn't...
He does grab sticks and run away.
Yeah.
He does run away with his little sticks and you're like, Zeus, come here. And he... takes off, but I don't know. Do I sound like one of those weird people that are concerned about their dog?
No.
But I am.
I'm concerned about your dog.
You know? Yeah. That's on my mind. Really. Yeah. The truth is, I'm not thinking about the clash between liberty and big government.
You're thinking about tomatoes?
You know what I'm thinking about?
And your dog.
Is my dog okay? And what about those tomatoes? You know, did she water them or not? And did they any of the kids break the... plants inside the garden.
Yeah, you gotta, We both have columns to write.
Yeah.
And so far I got nothing. So
you got nothing for today?
I have to whip something up in the next couple of hours.
Yes, me too.
I'm sure.
How about you? And you're booking a show for today?
Yeah. We got a show.
And for tomorrow and the next day and the next day?
Yeah. Luckily Friday is easy because Friday I can book that and that's already booked and we're good.
Here's the logistics in case you guys are listening after Friday. Ro and Jeff and Anna leave leave Cleveland Friday night or Thursday night?
Thursday night. We're going to actually probably...
After Trump.
Yeah. After we may wind up leaving. Andre Darlow's going to stay, but we may wind up leaving before Trump speaks because...
What are you going to do? You're going to be off air anyway.
Yeah, we're off air. We're off at 8 Eastern, and he won't speak until 9 probably.
So you leave, and you get back home by 1 o'clock?
Yeah, that's the plan.
And then get up and book a show for the next day.
Yeah.
You're going to have political talk and
a little bit of that.
What happened here. And
yeah,
and
it's Friday, so we got some stuff set up already. But yeah, it's going to be
and the Carnarvon wagon.
Carnarvon wagon.
You should have one here.
Yeah, we thought about it.
I don't think they let you bring... The Quicken Arena has...
Oh,
that
my God,
been like,
what is that?
See, I'm back on the food again. All you can get, there's like one concession stand. The line is a million, deep. And you can get a hot dog or popcorn or soda. No alcohol and no actual good food.
Although
you
got to go outside to like the pavilion kind of area. So we're in the garage. It's kind of between Quicken Arena and Progressive
Field. And
there's
a market thing.
Yeah, there's a market thing. But in Progressive Field, there's always food and,
really?
And booze. And,
oh, gosh. You're telling me this on day
lobbyists?
3.
Yeah.
Like, come on over here.
Exactly.
I'm a lobbyist for natural energy and coal.
Coal, yep. Big coal. Oh,
really? All right. I'll make my way over there.
I'll have a black cow.
I'll drink your lobbyist Chardonnay. I don't
drink my lobbyist Chardonnay.
It won't, I swear, it won't impact my reporting on
your
issue.
Right? Okay. People get all bent out of shape over something like that.
Yeah.
Although I understand we have our rules and everyone follows them. Don't let a lot. How about this? Don't let a lobbyist take you on vacation and buy your vacation.
That's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay. A glass of wine is okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
Bora Bora.
Dick Durbin, when I used to talk to him, I meet him, he's like, I'm having a bagel, Dick. Do you want a bagel? He's like, I'll get my own bagel, John. I'm like, come on, Senator. I can't even buy you a bagel? And he's like, no, I'll just buy my own.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, man. All right, everybody. Kristen's giving us the wrap.
Kristen's very hungry.
She's very hungry. She's got to work. She's got to write a column. I got to write a column. I'm going to go over there and talk to that woman who I think is Ann Compton, and then she's not going to be Ann Compton, and I'm going to be embarrassed, right? But is Ann Compton?
It's Ann Compton.
All right. Okay.
All right. Do you want me to take a picture with her?
No, because then it's like the old stuff. I just want to, you know what, now that you said that, I'm not even going to go and say hello to Ann Compton.
No, you can if you know her.
It's even better. I don't know the woman. She's like, what, Jeff Carlin booked you on my show a long time ago.
You met her at WLS when she was done her retirement.
She was in my show.
She'll remember. Of course
she
will.
No,
she
won't.
Yes, she will.
They fired me from that station. I don't want anything to do with them. Now it's even better. If I never see, I just looked at Ann Compton from across the way.
Right, and she looked at you. And you
don't
did not
go there. Don't go there. That is too weird. But I have to say one thing before we go. You don't bring me flowers.
You don't sing me love songs.
Jeff's like,
he's like, no,
his
not
head.
Doing it. Well,
I'm not doing it.
He's too young, too. Like, you didn't
hardly talk to me anymore until you.
When I come through the door at the end of the day.
Baby,
I remember.
What's the one where the.
Things you taught me.
What's the one where you're on the wind?
I learned how to. And I learned how to cry. Well, I learned how to love. And I learned how to lie.
And I just turn
this is where we're sitting
over.
Together. Oh yeah.
And tell
turn
me
out the lights. You don't bring me flowers anymore. I'm Barbara. You're Neil.
There you
I
go.
Keep calling me Neil.
Cracklin' Rosie. All right, everybody. Listen, next week I don't know if we're gonna have a podcast because Jeff's gonna be in Philadelphia, so you're gonna have to just enjoy this play. Keep playing, Kristen. Singing over and over in a loop. I want that. We're going to save that.
I can make that into a ringtone for you.
Oh, definitely. Ringtone.
Oh, my gosh.
John Cass, Jeff Carlin, special guest, Kristen McQuarrie, editorial board, Chicago Tribune. Another edition of the Chicago Way. Have a great political season. Remember, if you believe in candidates, you're a chumbalone, okay? They're not your dad and mom. They're politicians. Bye.
For Kristen McQuarrie, member of the Chicago Tribune editorial board, for Jeff Carlin, Square Pie devotee, WGM producer of The Rokon Show with Anna DeVellantis, and for me, John Cass, father, nationally syndicated columnist for the Chicago Tribune, husband, World Cup soccer fan, tomato gardener, amateur philosopher, thanks for being with us on the Chicago Way.